Well, good morning. Greetings in Christ's name. Been blessed by being here already, this beautiful day that God has blessed us with. Appreciated the thoughts, the challenges that we've heard. This morning it's been quite a while since I stood up here and shared the message. I believe, if I calculated right, the last time that it was my turn to share was before Christmas. And we've had a lot of visitors the last while. Been thankful for that. Of course, there was Bible conference in there. So I don't know, you probably don't. Things gonna get me yet. You probably don't hear me say this very often, but I'm kind of excited to again share what God has laid upon my heart. So look forward to seeing what God has for us in the message. I want to continue again in the Christian Home series. I've been pondering where God would have me to go yet with this subject, with this series. I don't, it doesn't feel like I'm quite finished with it yet. So if you think about it, you can pray that God would show me what he would have yet to share on the subject of the Christian home. This morning I would like to pass on to you some thoughts that have been a real inspiration to me as I studied this subject. Last Sunday we heard a very good message on child training. Not exactly sure what the title was anymore, but I was very blessed to listen to that, and we may hit on some of that yet in the future here as we think on this subject. But this morning I would like to think, well, I've given the message is Parents Preparing Their Children to Face Life. Parents Preparing Their Children to Face Life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We think about this subject, it's often where we turn to. I believe that's where the brother turned to last week as well, if I'm not mistaken. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and as we turn there, think a little with me about the responsibility that we as parents have. If you've been blessed with children, you know that along with that blessing comes a very serious responsibility that carries a lot of consequences. I think it's good for us to think about that. And if you're like me, sometimes the burden gets heavy, and sometimes it's just kind of easy to kick back in what I would call maybe the default mode, where we just kind of sit back and we let things happen. How many of you have experienced that? You probably all would say that at times that you've been tempted to do that. Where we not teach and train like God wants us to. Well, the goal of this message is to inspire a renewed zeal and invigorate us as parents to continue on. It's been that for me as I've pondered this, and somehow I'd like to inspire each of us in that. It is worth it. It is a wonderful privilege that God has given to us, that God gives to us as parents, to take young souls, that's what they are, souls that will go on through eternity, to take those souls and shape them and mold them to serve God. And I'd like for us to be reminded again that that is a privilege. That's a wonderful privilege that God has given to us. Not many, I don't know if that's accurate to say, but there's a lot of people that don't view it that way. It is a privilege. Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's read verses 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. This morning I have 12 points that I would like to look at. 12 points might sound like a lot. One thing to my benefit, the clock in the back isn't working, so we'll see how this works out. But I have 12 points that I would like to look at of ways that we can prepare our children to face life. In Deuteronomy here, I get the first one. Those of you that are taking notes, number one, we teach our children to live life by the principles found in God's Word. We're not left alone in this. It is not all up to us to find our way, and I praise God for that. We have principles in God's Word that are very clear, and if followed, they will produce results. Moses tells the children of Israel, these words, God's words, these words, which I command thee this day, what? Shall be in thine heart. Shall be in our hearts as parents, first of all. And then what do we do with them? And thou shalt teach them diligently the words of God, the principles of God, unto thy children, and shalt talk of them. When? In other words, all the time. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, live life by this set of rules. Take these things that you have been taught and pass them along. Pass them along to your children. It's really not that complicated. Don't let it be something that you pick up occasionally and read them. Rather, it's there. It's a part of your life. What are they? Principles of, I think of a number of things. Principles of love, principles of humility, kindness, modesty, thankfulness, integrity, giving, non-resistance, trust in God. On and on we can go. What does that look like in each of these? We don't have time to go into each one of these things, but there are principles that are clear in God's Word for every one of these things. I thought of it this way. You know, life is really one, I don't know, in a lot of ways, it's one big object lesson. The things we experience on a daily basis, we can use them as object lessons where we take the experiences we experience, both the good and the bad, and we take them and use them to assist us and teaching the principles from God's Word. Help them understand. Help our children to understand why we do what we do. Make the Word of God practical to our lives. And we have so many opportunities at our fingertips to do just that as we live life. Verse 20 in Deuteronomy 6, we didn't read down that far, but it says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" Dads and moms, let's not count on the church to raise our children or any other individual. It is our responsibility. This is a personal task. Yes, this morning we are blessed to be a part of a church that can assist in that. And I'm so thankful for that. I can't imagine what it would be like to not be a part of a brotherhood where we can help one another in these things. But let's take our responsibility as parents. Okay? Number two. Another thing in preparing our children to face life is simply love them. Love them. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. You probably know where I'm going with this. Titus chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Paul here is instructing the aged women to teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Why did Paul bring this in here? Why did Paul say that? Well, Paul is not saying this just because. He says this because he knows that these women are going to need to hear this. We as parents need to hear this. He knows they are going to need to hear to love their children. You know, as I thought about that, you know, it's easy to look down into the face of a newborn child and feel nothing but love. But, you know, that child doesn't stay there forever, thankfully. It doesn't go too long before that baby is a toddler, before that baby is a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. And the fact of the matter is, our patience gets tested. And we are feeling many other emotions. Maybe that love is still there, but hopefully it is. But many other emotions come along besides that love. Our children need to know that we love them unconditionally, no matter what, even if that child struggles in school, even if that child is slow, even if that child is limited, or maybe the other children in school make fun of him. You put whatever in there. They need to know that they can come home to dad and mom and they will be cared for and loved. Not a love that pities them and sticks up for them, but a love that walks alongside of them and helps them learn how to cope, how to deal with those difficult things. Remember what I said about object lessons? Prime opportunity, right there. a prime opportunity to teach our children important lessons that will go with them through life. Harvard University carried out a study in the early 1900s, and they tracked 268 Harvard students and analyzed their physical and emotional health and their success in life. And they reached a clear conclusion that happy and successful lives were, can you guess what it was? Rooted in loving relationships with their parents. It was a clear conclusion from 268 Harvard students. Well, we don't need a Harvard study to tell us that. We know that a child that is loved is going to have stability in life. Parents, sometimes when it's the hardest to love your children, you know what? Those are generally the times that they need your love shown to them the most. Many, many times it is that way. Most times. More could be said about that. We'll move on. Number three. Teach our children to respect authority and that disobedience brings consequences. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. This morning we spare our children a lot of heartaches if we teach them very early in life that yes means yes and no means no. By the time our children are old enough to hear these verses being read and understand what they mean, they should be able to grasp the concept of obedience. Our children need to know that when they disobey, there will be consequences. You know what? God has a way to do that. God, let's do it God's way. Let's make sure that it is very clear in our minds that behavior issues in our children are never going to be fixed with man's alternative methods. They will not. The Bible is clear what to do with disobedient children, and it works. It works. Probably all of us at one time or another have been at our wits' end when it comes to children training or to child training, and maybe we feel it's hopeless. But just as an encouragement, let's not second guess the principles of child training that we read about in God's Word. Respect. Teach them respect. And you know, the best way that we can do that, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, possibly, at least an angle of it, but the best way comes right back to us as parents. What do they see in our lives? It is going to be very difficult to teach them something, to teach them respect, if they don't see it in their parents' lives as well. We might touch on that just a bit more on another point. Number four, take time to answer our children's questions. Take time to answer our children's questions. Sometimes we might say, well, I might never get anything done if I do that. Take time to answer our children's questions. As we prepare our children to face life, it is a must that our children's questions are answered. Our children will face answers to the questions of life. And the question is, who is going to be the one who is going to be answering those questions. Again, going back to Deuteronomy 6, it talks about his son. We read that verse. It talks about his son coming with questions. Then shalt thou say unto thy son, it is your job, dad and mom, answer your children's questions. And the reality of it is, sometimes it's hard to know how much information a young child needs to have concerning issues in life. But I guess I would just put it this way. I would much rather have my child know a little too much and a little too young than to have unanswered questions where they go somewhere besides dad and mom to get the answers. That's my thought. I suppose sometimes it is appropriate to tell a preschooler that asks 1,000 questions in a day's time to just be quiet and stop asking questions for a little bit. But especially as our children grow from childhood to teenage years, let's not discourage our children from asking questions. If we do that and take the time for that, it will reap rewards, many rewards. You know, our children will open up to someone who cares. And to them, someone who cares is someone who will spend time with them, spend time alone with them and answer their questions and care about the things that are important to them. So let's take time to answer our children's questions. Number 5. We teach our children the joys of hard work. Now, children, maybe this is one that you don't care to hear about so much, but it is important. We teach our children the joy of hard work. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells the Thessalonians the principle that if you don't work, you don't eat. Your children probably have heard your parents say that at one time or another. It's a biblical principle that our children need to learn at an early age. And that is why we have jobs. We have chores around the house for our children. That's why we feel like that is important. It's a good, again, going back to the object lesson, we can use these things as object lessons, opportunities to teach our children the joys of work. Teach them how to do their job. And one way that we can teach them to do it joyfully is to walk alongside of them. Help them do their job. Yes, they need to learn the responsibility of doing the job on their own, but walk alongside of them. Teach them the joys of hard work and doing it with dad and mom every once in a while or as they can is a good way to demonstrate joy. What are we doing? How are we talking about work? How are we expressing ourselves about all the work that we have to do? It makes a difference. If we wait to give our children jobs until we are pretty sure they can perform them flawlessly, guess what? You're going to miss a prime opportunity. A prime opportunity. Let's give our children jobs, even though they can't do them perfectly. Again, a good lesson, a good opportunity for lessons. It is a challenge to us as dads and moms. Our child's attitude about work is so crucial. It has a high potential of following right on down through life, being there with them. It's a challenge to help our children view work as a blessing and not a drudgery. Number 6, encourage our children by recognizing good behavior and complimenting them for a job well done. Encourage your children by recognizing good behavior and complimenting them for a job well done. This is an area that I feel like I need to grow in. Compliment. It is important to compliment our children. Recognizing good behavior and the job that they did well. It is one of the ways that we can help our children enjoy work. I believe that to be very real. They understand. They see that dad and mom are happy with their work. And it's going to help make that work more joyful. Children have a natural desire to please the authority in their life. And it makes them feel good when their efforts don't go unnoticed or appreciated. Let's think about that. Compliment them for a good grade. You see, they got a good grade on their English test in school. Compliment them for a job well done. Especially if you know that they were really not looking forward to that and they felt like it was going to be difficult. They were putting a lot of effort into it. Voice your appreciation of a job well done. Now, there is the other side of it that we don't do our children any favors by offering them flattery or giving them undeserved compliment. But when they have done a good job, tell them so. We'll go a long ways. It's so easy. And maybe I'm just, exposing myself here. But it's so easy to scold our children when they don't perform the way we think they should. It's easy to do that. If we show appreciation to our children for good behavior or a job well done, chances are that they will repeat it. They will repeat that in the future. Enough said on that. Number 7. Be willing to live by the same standards that we require of our children. This is a good way of helping them in life. Be willing to live by the same standards that we require of them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe we heard this verse last weekend. What all does that mean? You probably have your ideas of what this verse means, and in your situation, what it means for us fathers to provoke our children to wrath. There are probably many ways. A number of things it could be that I thought of. Possibly unjust or constant criticism. Unfair or overly harsh punishment. Comparing our children to other children. Maybe their own siblings. And there are other things that could fit in there. But I would like to suggest that the possibility that possibly the most common way that we as dads can provoke our children to wrath is when we expect more out of them than what we are willing to do ourselves. You think about that. But I wonder if that isn't one of the most common ways that we can provoke our children to wrath, when we expect more out of them than what we are willing to do ourselves, setting the bar higher for our children than what we are willing to do ourselves. You know, it's good and right to have lofty expectations for our children and require obedience out of them. That is good and right. But I suppose that it's not at all controversial that we require and expect obedience out of our children. But as those children grow up, and as they look at dad and mom relating to the authorities in their life, what do they see? And this is where I had a couple more thoughts on authority. But what do they see? We demand of them respect and authority. We demand of them obedience. But what do they see in us? What do they see in us? Do they see the same kind of obedience that dad and mom expect out of me? As dad and mom relate to the authorities in their life, the things that they say, those things stand out. Our children see those things. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number 8. We demonstrate to our children how to face the pressures of life with emotional stability. We demonstrate to our children how to face the pressures of life with emotional stability. Pressures in life will come. Let's not act that it doesn't. Let's not portray to our children that it does not happen. Pressures will come. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. You don't need to turn to that, but it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh his city." Life is full of highs and lows. Possibly discouraging times, difficult times, and then joys and many blessings. There are happy and exciting times. There are times that test our patience and maybe even move us to anger. And our first, it seems like our first response in times like this maybe isn't often the best response. But it tells us here in this verse that the person who controls his emotional reactions in situations like this is better than the mightier one that taketh a city. We put our children at a tremendous disadvantage if they see us reacting rashly to the pressures that we face in life. Avoid making rash decisions in the heat of the moment. When we fail in this, we must apologize. We can prepare our children to face life as we teach them to respond to the situations that come, the situations that we face, that they face, especially negative ones. Teach them to respond in measured, restrained ways. It goes against the human nature. It goes against our flesh. It takes teaching. It takes example. Teach them to think logically about the situation and then respond based on facts rather than feelings. Number 9. Teach our children to be courteous and respectful to others. Teach our children to be courteous and respectful to others. Teach them to live by the golden rule. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus was sitting there in the throngs of people and his disciples. And he said in verse 31 there, "And as ye would that men do to you, do ye also to them likewise." We need to teach our children what that means. And again, we have lessons. We have situations that come that we can take those things and use them as object lessons to teach them that. It means to treat their brothers and sisters the way they want to be treated. It means to teach them how to treat their classmates in school the way they want to be treated. It means never, ever making fun of someone who is less fortunate. Maybe it's the one that rarely gets a hit in baseball. Maybe it's the one that stutters when they are asked to speak in school. It means taking an interest in others' lives and not talking to others only about the things that interest them. We have so many opportunities to teach our children in these things. Teach our children proper manners. Teach them to shake a grown-up's hand. Teach them to talk to the visiting children in church. Teach them to smile and say, "Hi, how are you today? I was blessed recently when I observed one of you fathers telling your son to go shake the hands of a visitor child and talk to him." You're preparing them for life with proper manners. Teach our boys to respectfully hold open the door for others. And no, it's not wrong to hold the door open for ladies and girls. Boys, it's not. It's a good thing to do. It's a mannerly, it's a good mannered thing to do. Let's teach our boys to do that. Respectfully hold open the door for others, and especially for ladies. Remember, if we expect our children to be courteous and respectful, we as parents must lead again in this, must lead in that by example. Number 10, help our children accept the disappointments of life. Probably no one is a better example of this than Job. Scripture. Job was a man that had everything going for him until one day he lost it all. You know, our children are not going to be very old until they understand that life simply isn't fair. Sometimes we as parents hear that. That's not fair. Well, maybe it's not. But guess what? The sooner that our children can learn that life isn't fair, the better off they'll be. Somehow, we need to teach our children that those things are things, the disappointing things will happen. There will be disappointments in life. And the sooner they accept that, and without bitterness, the happier they will be. Sometimes, during hard times, God is all we have. There are plenty of times where we all have felt where it seems like there is nobody that understands or cares what I'm going through. There's a motto, I'm sure we've probably all heard it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Our lives, our children's lives, may not be easy, but if we can truly live by the message of that motto, we will be able to experience a peace that will carry us through the unfairs in life, the difficulties in life. Number 11, teach our children responsibility. Teach our children responsibility. Teach our children to put things away, the things away that they get out. Their toys, books, boots, coats, you name it. In addition to that, teach them to take responsibility for their actions. Teach them that actions, guess what? They bring consequences. Take responsibilities for their shortcomings and their mistakes. The quicker we can teach them that in life, probably the better. Parents, probably the best way, again, that we can do this. I keep coming back to the example that we set as parents, and it's so real in teaching our children But probably the best way that we can do that is by admitting our own mistakes and fixing them. There is nothing to be gained by, when we make a mistake, not to admit it. Something happens when we do that, or when we don't do it. There is absolutely nothing to be gained by blaming someone else. That will be of no value to your child. Teach them to take responsibility. Number 12, the last one. Make the Christian life attractive to our children. Make the Christian life attractive to our children. My mind went to 1 Timothy. You don't need to turn there, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." This was a mom and a grandma that somehow made their faith look attractive to their son and grandson. And we don't have a lot of detail how they did that, but it's pretty obvious that they did it. I don't know what all they did, but they were faithful in passing that along. I heard a preacher say in a message one time, I think he was talking about attitudes, but one of the things he said that stood out to me was he likened the church to a well of water and all the blessings that flow out from that well, from the church, from that. And he said, you know, sometimes in church life, there are disappointments. There are things about our brothers and sisters that are disappointing to us, and we wish it wouldn't be that way. And so we criticize, we point out the negatives in front of our children, and he likened that to spitting in the well, continually spitting in the well. And then too often, when the children grow up, the parents are there. Drink of the well. Drink of the water. And guess what? The children want nothing of it. They have seen their parents spitting in the well, if you please. They have seen their parents point out negatives and being critical. It is reasonable for us as our children, as our children get older. I believe it is reasonable that we as parents acknowledge the hardships in life, and maybe even, the hardships in church life. Acknowledge that churches aren't perfect. They aren't. You will never find a perfect church. Probably there are things that I wish was different. Probably there are things that you wish were different. But as we do that, let's make sure we balance that out with the joys and benefits that go along with that. Our children need to hear those things. Let's make sure our children know that we need the church. We need our brothers and sisters. And our children must see that demonstrated out both by our actions and our words, by our speech. That is so important. Teach and demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit and the love of Christ. It should be our goal as parents that when our children come to the age that they are making decisions on their own, they look at dad, mom, and say, I want what they have. I want to experience what they're experiencing. I want that. That's a goal that I have for my family, for my children. I know I fail. We do fail. We make mistakes. But somehow can we pass that on to our children? The blessings of living a life for God, the blessings of church life, of church. I have a short story I would like to read in closing. John Dresser was a Mennonite writer and pastor in the Franconia County Conference who spent his life committed to helping others. And one day, the father of a wayward son came and talked to John. And somewhere in the conversation, the father said to John, "What should I have done differently?" If your children were small again, what would you do? I would like to know. Can you help me in this? And John took the challenge, this John Dresser, and he responded by writing this little booklet. And I just want to read a couple of things from it. Here's a few things he said in that booklet. If I were starting my family again, some things I would do differently if my children were young again. Number one, I would love the mother of my children more. I would seek to be faithful in doing little loving things for her. I would show special kindness, such as opening the car door and placing her chair at the table, giving her little gifts on special occasions, and writing her love letters when I'm gone from home. I would take her hand when we stroll in the park. I would praise her in the presence of my children. And he makes a comment that a child that knows that his or her parents love each other has a security and stability about life which is gained in no other way. That's a powerful statement. Number two, if I were starting my family again, I would listen more. I would listen when my child shares his little hurts and complaints, his joys, and what he is excited about. I would try to refrain from words of impatience at the interruptions. Sometimes, such times can be the best times to show love and kindness. And he tells the story of a small boy who came one evening to his father. We probably have heard of this story, I had at least, who was reading the newspaper, and this little boy tried to show his father a scratch on his finger. Finally, after repeated attempts to gain his father's attention, who was reading the newspaper, or maybe we could say the news on our phone or computer. Finally, after repeated attempts to gain his father's attention, the father stopped reading and said impatiently, "Well, I can't do anything about it, can I?" "Yes, Daddy," his small son said. "I would try to understand that what my child says, because I now believe that the father who listens to his child when he is small will find that he will have a child who cares about what his father has to say later in life." Number three, if I were starting my family again, I would express words of appreciation and praise more. Probably no other thing encourages a child to love life, to seek accomplishment, and to gain confidence more than proper, sincere praise. Not flattery, but honest compliments when he does well. Number four, if I were starting my family again, I would spend more time together. There was a group of 300 7th and 8th grade boys who kept accurate record of how much time their fathers actually spent with them over a two-week period. Most of them only saw their fathers at the supper table. A number of them didn't see their father for days at a time. And the average time that a father and son were alone together for an entire week was 7.5 minutes. A prominent businessman asked a friend, "Would you like to know what I gave my son for Christmas?" He showed a piece of paper on which he had written, "To my son, I give you 1 hour of each week and 2 hours of every Sunday to use as you wish." Arthur Gordon tells an interesting experience from his youth. "When I was around 13 and my brother was 10, Father had promised to take us fishing. But at lunch, there was a phone call. Some urgent business required his attention downtown. My brother and I braced ourselves for the disappointment. And then we heard him say to the person on the phone, 'No, I won't be down. It's going to have to wait.' When he came back to the table, Mother smiled and said, 'Well, really, the fish would bite another day.' 'I know,' said Father, 'but childhood will never come back.'" That was a wise dad. Continues on to say, "So tomorrow the baby won't need to be rocked anymore. Tomorrow the toddler won't be asking, 'Why, Daddy?' Tomorrow the schoolboy won't need help with his homework. And tomorrow the teenager will have made his decisions." And so, while our children are young, and we are looking and we are holding these opportunities in our hands, let's take seriously the responsibility of training and preparing these precious souls, these precious lives, for the life ahead of them. God bless each of you parents. It's a challenge. Challenges that we all face. We're in this together. And God bless each of you as you continue on. I hope that this message was an inspiration and not too overwhelming. But my goal was that it was an inspiration to continue on and raise our families the way God would have us to do. God raising, God honoring children who carry on the torch then as we pass on. Carry on the torch to the next generations. What a tremendous opportunity that is at our fingertips today. Let's kneel together in prayer.